Honey Visser Rollema, born October 26, 1928, in Groenganieden, Friesland, the Netherlands. The title of this meditation is I Shall Go to Him, and it is taken from our text in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. We've come here together today to celebrate, yes, to celebrate the going home of Annie Rollema. She went home on Monday evening 1 week ago to meet her Savior in person, and we are here to praise God who took her home. We read here in 2 Samuel chapter 12 something parallel to Annie's suffering and to our prayers of intercession to our great God, the Almighty, the sovereign God who created us all for one purpose, that we should give glory and honor to Him and to Him alone. Let us now look at David and his child. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and David had killed her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And then David took Bathsheba to be his wife, and David did it all in secret. But God saw it, and it displeased the Lord. And God sent the prophet Nathan to David with a dreadful message. And then we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, and washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord, and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. My first point in this meditation is David besought the Lord. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. We can draw a parallel here between the dying of Annie Rollema. Annie was operated on May the 4th, and from May the 4th until May the 17th, we besought the Lord for 14 days. To have her recover from her open heart surgery. And all this time, God was drawing us closer to Him and closer to one another. And is this not the purpose of prayer? To draw us closer to God? And indeed, that is the purpose of prayer. And David interceded on behalf of his child to the Lord. David mourned for his child 7 days, and in his deep distress he did not eat for 7 days. And this showed that in his deep mourning there was room inside him for only one thing: pleading with God for his child. He did not ask for a prayer chain to beseech God or to gang up on God. He prayed alone, and then the child died. This child had to die because God sent Nathan to David that this child would die. And God cannot lie. And as you know, ever since Adam sinned, there has been death in the human race. Except for Enoch and Elijah, everyone of the human race will experience death of the body. And let me ask you a question. Are you ready to face death when it comes? Do you believe in life after death? And whether you believe it or not, I want you to know that there is a God who punishes every sin that is committed. Every sin. Yes, there is life after our body dies. God says in the Bible that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And God created death of the body as a warning that there is hell to pay for everyone who does not qualify to go to heaven. And who qualifies to go to heaven? Listen what the Lord Jesus had to say about this in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because narrow is the gate, and troubled is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us this warning. There will be few who go to heaven, and there will be many who go to hell. Because all mankind is by nature in rebellion against God and deserves to go to hell. Doesn't this give you the chills? Do you know where you're going? And as you know, these days, hell is not a popular subject among preachers. But when we are confronted with death, we remember that there is such a place as hell. And whether you believe it or not, hell will still be there, waiting for its inhabitants. But God delights in mercy. God says in the Bible that there is a way to escape hell. And whether you believe it or not, the Bible is still the Word of God. God spoke, and holy men of old wrote his words down in this book that we call the Bible. And in the Bible we read that all who put their trust in Jesus Christ will be saved from this awful predicament that is called hell. And this does not mean that we simply believe that 2,000 years ago there was a Jesus who died on the cross. But the Lord Jesus said that we must believe the whole Bible from cover to cover, and even believe those passages we do not like. And this is true faith. And in the Bible also says that this kind of faith is a gift from God. God gives it to whom he will, not to whom we will. And if we believe, for example, if we believe 99% of what is in the Bible, but we do not believe 1% that's in it, it means that in this 1%, we have declared God a liar. You realize we can never go to heaven with that kind of a faith. But if we have a faith that we believe that the Bible, what the Bible says, everything that the Bible says, then we have put our trust in God's word. And then we know that God has done a marvelous work of salvation in our soul, and we have become a child of God. Think of it, a child of God. Did you know that only a child of God can come before God in prayer? Only if we have this true faith will God listen to our prayers. God does not hear the prayers of those who are not saved. Did you know that? For example, we read in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." But a child of God can come before God's throne anytime. David was a child of God. Annie was a child of God. And so when David's son had died, we read, and this is my next, the second point in my sermon, David rose up and worshipped. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 20, "Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, and he changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat." Now, do you think this is strange behavior? No. David understood what salvation is. But do we understand what salvation is? Do we understand that if God has saved us, we are going to heaven guaranteed? When God has done a marvelous work in our soul, how can he draw back and let us go to hell? It is impossible. God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners just like us. And how did the Lord Jesus Christ save us? How could he save us? Because God does not let any sinners enter into his holy heaven. No sinners into his holy heaven. And God is righteous, which means he is just. He's a righteous judge. Sinners must have their sins be washed off first. And only then can God take them into heaven. Heaven. But what a wonderful provision God has made to be righteous and to be merciful at the same time. God invented the principle of substitution. In his great compassion for us, God decided to save some people by providing a substitute to pay the penalty for their sins. And that substitute was Jesus Christ, who himself was truly God and truly man at the same time. He alone was able to endure the wrath of God as the stand-in, as the substitute for those he chose to save. And indeed, when Christ was crucified, he endured the wrath of God for the sins of all those whom he came to save. He had to pay the full price in our place. He paid the equivalent of an eternity in hell. But because he was God, he was able to endure such suffering. And when he arose from the grave early on that first Easter Sunday morning, God showed that the price was fully paid. God committed himself thereby that through the operation of his Holy Spirit, all those for whom Christ died will cry out to God for mercy at some point in their life. And they will put their trust in Christ only for the complete forgiveness of their sins. And then we can truly believe the words of Romans chapter 8 verse 1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. These were the words on the lips of Annie's mother when she died. What a glorious privilege it is to die in the Lord. We do not often think of death as a privilege, nor something to look forward to. And yet, for someone who has found her rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, death is no longer an enemy. To those who are in Christ, God says very comfortably, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we as Christians gain by the death of our body, because it is the last step that brings us into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But while we live unto the Lord. As you can see at the top of your bulletin, the theme for this meditation is Philippians 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain. Can we also say that to ourselves? And while we live for Christ. Does this sound strange to you? Now look at David. He rose up and worshipped the Lord, even though the Lord had just taken away his son. And even though God has taken away Annie, we still come here and worship him. Because everything God does is perfect. What were we created for? We were created to worship God. We belong to him. As you know, the first question in the catechism is, what is our only comfort in life and in death? Answer, that we, with body and soul, both in life and in death, are not our own, but we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Did David know that? Of course he did. Look at his response in my point number 3. I shall go to him. Here we read in verse 22. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. While Annie was still alive, we cried and we besought God to keep her alive. Who can tell whether God will be gracious to us, that she may teach our children for many more Sundays? But now she is dead. Wherefore should we weep and wail? We cannot bring her back again. She shall not return to us, but we shall go to her. Or actually, let me rephrase that. We shall go to him. We shall go to Christ, because he really is the one we're looking forward to. The reason we long to go to heaven is because Christ is there. Our love for him must be greater than our love for any other person in the world. And Christ also loves his people more than any other person in the world. We read in Psalm 139, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. What are God's thoughts to me? And why are they precious to me? We know from the Bible that God will make sure when my body dies, I will still be faithful to him. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." They shall never perish. Those whom he has saved, he will never allow them to perish. They will never die in a false gospel. They will never die as an apostate. And this is precious. God himself, you see, God himself is our shepherd, and God will move heaven and earth, but he will not move our faith in him. And therefore, God says in Psalm 116, "Precious is the in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Why is this precious? It is because God loves me. I know this from the signs of life in my soul that he has given me. And moreover, precious is his plan of salvation. I know from the Bible that I was an unworthy sinner whom he has transformed into a saint. And also, precious is the word of God. Who would think that Almighty God would stoop down to have his words written in front of us so that we can be saved? But he did. And most of all, precious is my Savior, who made atonement for my sins and who endured my penalty for my sins in my place. And therefore, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because our physical death is our stepping stone to be with our faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How would you know if you are on the way to heaven? Now, this is an important question. Because if you're not on the way to heaven, then you are on the way to hell. I do not wish such a destination on my worst enemy. What I would wish on my enemies is that they too will say the words of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, if my enemies would believe that, they would no longer be my enemies, but be my friends. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our wonderful and merciful Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, into the world to save sinners just like us by making him endure the penalty for sin in our place on the cross. We praise you and thank you for making the Lord Jesus triumph over sin and death and hell. And we thank you for eternal life and righteousness, which you have imparted to us entirely by grace, and that you have given us the faith to believe all that you have said in your word, the Bible. We thank you, Father, that the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated there as our representative. And because he lives, we shall live also. And we thank you, Father, that you have taken Annie Rolema with you into glory. We praise you for all your loving kindness toward her. And we thank you for giving us many verses that show that salvation is entirely by grace, and that none of us is good enough or smart enough to ignore the warnings that are written in your word. If it was not for your irresistible grace that makes us turn to the Lord Jesus as our only refuge, no one would be saved. We thank you, Father, for your chastening hand, which makes us come humble and broken before you. You do not mean to grieve us unnecessarily, but we are a stubborn and stiff-necked people who do need your chastening hand. We pray that you keep us in unbroken fellowship with you and bring us at last into your presence through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. And let us all say in unison, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.